Greetings from the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. I do want to clarify something with Pastor Schiavelli. He's right. Basketball was invented in Springfield, Massachusetts. However, James Naismith was the one who invented it. He was a Canadian. And yeah, listen, he was born in Ontario, and he studied in McGill University in Montreal. And then he got a job at Springfield, and he was a phys ed teacher, and he came up with a sport to get some physical education or some training for the students, and he came up with basketball. So yes, Pastor Schiavelli, you're correct, and I'm correct also. All right. So let's just turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10 and 11. We'll just read that together. 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Father, we thank you for this opportunity together. Once again, Father, bless these thoughts, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I just want to thank everyone who organized the convention and this feast. It was a feast, right? We started off the week with Pastor Ben saying, welcome to the feast. And we've had such a feast, so thank you to the staff in Baltimore. And thank you, Pastor Schaller, for giving me this opportunity to share the pulpit. This is a great privilege. Thank you so much. And I also want to ask my wife to stand, please. I know. My dear wife, Jill, I just want to thank her for making this possible for me to serve God. But not only that, she serves with me all year long. She serves with me and my children and our team in Montreal. So thank you. And for the ministry, she's a true helpmate. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wow, what a great theme. And, you know, this is a lifestyle. Rejoicing in the Lord, it's a lifestyle. It's something that we practice every day. To not simply rejoice, but to rejoice in the Lord. And that word rejoice in the Greek is chero. And what it really means is joy which comes from the grace of God working in you. Chero, joy which comes from the grace of God working in you. Now, this is a word that Greeks, we use it regularly. It's a greeting word. We say hello to one another. We say cherete, cherome. We can use it to say hello. We could use it to say goodbye. It's a greeting word. And Greeks, they don't know that. But what they are saying to one another is, I am like, there's a joy in what grace of God is doing in your life. And maybe they don't even believe in God, but they say they welcome one another. They say, Hierome, the joy of the grace of God working in your life. So as we salute each other today, think about that as we say goodbye, that we are rejoicing every time we greet one another. We greet one another with a holy kiss. It's really the joy that we get from the grace of God that is working in our lives. And Paul, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he had a grace meeting. And that's really what the word is, having a grace meeting. And it was an encounter that, you know, just knocked him down. It changed the course of his life. It was a grace encounter. And he would go on to use this word in his writings again and again. Greetings. Greetings to the church. Greetings. Greet one another. Greetings. The joy that we have in what God is doing. And we've experienced that this week, haven't we? It's been amazing. So, best convention ever. We have two ladies that came with us for the first time here to convention. One of them was sharing with me yesterday in tears that this is the best week of her life. You know, and I understand that. It's the best week of my life. It's how do we do it? Every year we come and we say this, I don't know. This is like, it was better than last time. But last time was better also. But it's just, it always gets better. In 3019, we're going to be here. We're going to say, it's the best one ever. It's the best week of my life. How does that happen? You know, it's why we rejoice. Because God will always make things better for us. God, you know, we have so much to rejoice in because it always gets better for us. Do you know anybody who ever got a pony for Christmas? I mean, I don't know if you, but I think about it sometimes, like the great joy to receive a pony for Christmas. How do you do that, you know? Do you bring it in the house? Or like I could imagine how it happens, you know, like the child gets a gift and it's kind of like a small token gift, and they open it, and they're like, oh, okay, that's great. Wonderful. They get another little gift. It's kind of like, okay, you know, this is great Christmas, okay. And then, but wait a second, and the pony comes in the house. It's like, oh, wow, that's the best gift ever, you know. And it's like this great rejoicing. The pony is the greatest Christmas. I don't know, I would never want a pony for Christmas, but... But like the pony comes in and the rejoicing starts. When, think of this, when we are in his presence, you know, it's like he has something for us. And the world like gives us these token gifts, or we collect these token toys. But nothing compares to when the presence of God comes in. And it's like the pony enters the room. It's like, wow, now the rejoicing can start. This is what was happening in 1 Chronicles 16. David, he just had victory after victory over the Philistines, and there was rejoicing, and you know, there was happiness. But when the ark came back, when the ark was brought back, as he just like ripped off his clothing, he just had the rejoicing started. The presence of God is back. The presence of God is in the temple. The presence of God, and there is rejoicing. When we are in the presence of God, it's always bigger than our problems. It's always better than our situations. This is why we came this week. Why do we go to church? Pastor Shabelli said yesterday, it's not over. It's not over. It's going to get better tomorrow. 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6:30. It just gets better and better. Why? Because the presence of God is here. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, he changes the course of our life, like he did with the Apostle Paul. It gets bigger. It gets better. We expect God to do something better because our lives don't stay the same, do they? There are always changes. There's always something different, challenges. We need to continue to grow. There's no neutral ground with God. You know that. There's no like neutral gear in Christianity. We must be growing. If we're not growing, we are backsliding. There is a growing. There's something greater for us. We were challenged Wednesday night. Put away childish things. What a great challenge. By the way, the word man there in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I became a man, Paul says, in the Greek, it doesn't just mean like I was a child and I became an adult. It means I became a man. I manned up. I made a choice. I'm putting away. I didn't just grow up. I just became an adult. I became a man. I made manly decisions. I made the tough choices in my life to put away the childish things. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, but then I became a man, right? And I put away these things. I was challenged. Just moments before the message, actually moments before Pastor Justin spoke, I got a call on my phone, and it was my neighbors. And that's never good when you're away out of the country. Your neighbors are calling, you know. They don't even speak to me when they see me. Now they're calling me, you know. And I'm like, oh boy. So I listened to the message, and it's like, oh, yeah, James, we had a big storm here. You know that 70-year-old maple tree in the front of the house? It just came down. And it left a big crater in your driveway, and it fell on your car. Okay, have a great vacation. I'm like, what? And you know, and then just like literally, I'm listening to the message, and then Pastor Justin gets up, you know, and he gives this intense message, you know, on rejoicing in the Lord. And I'm like, thank you, Pastor. You know, that's exactly what. And then Pastor Matthew comes up and he's like telling jokes to his goldfish, you know, and finds out his goldfish has no sense of humor. And I'm laughing, you know, and I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing right now, you know. But it was just, and then Pastor gets up and he's like, hey, put away childish things. Grow up. He's like pointing to me right there, you know. Just grow up. Be a man. You know, and I'm like, you know what I said? I'm like, yeah, God is here tonight. God is here tonight, you know. And by the way, you know, pray for your pastors. You're getting these calls. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the pastors' wives, the families. I was getting all these like texts this week, and like every one of the pastors here, I'm sure, this problem, that problem, and I'm my job this, my wife that. And I'm like, don't you know I am at the convention rejoicing in the Lord? Like, literally, a couple of months ago, you're not going to believe this, a couple of months ago, I get a call from one of the 24 elders in Revelations 4:4. They called me on the phone, one of the 24 elders. Yeah, like, this person calls me, hey, Pastor, can you pray for me? I'm like, sure. He said, I'm one of the 24 elders. I'm like, what? Well, yeah, I'm the last one, and God's calling me home this week, so can you just pray that transition would be... I'm like, is this for real? Like, one of the 24 elders is calling me. You know, I could have gone so many ways in that conversation, but I said, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to pray for that, you know. But anyway, 1 Chronicles 16. It's amazing the calls we get, you know. David brings back the Ark of the Covenant, and there was great rejoicing. There was dancing in the presence of God, David was saying, is here. And he started to write psalms about it. And in verse 10 here, he says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek the Lord continually, continually. This is the key to putting away childish things. This is the key to growing in maturity. This is the key to rejoicing. We seek him. Okay, we are in his presence. We're in the convention. But we seek him. David didn't just stop there like, oh yeah, the ark is here. Let's rejoice. But he says, seek him in his presence. Seek the Lord. Seek him. The presence of God was finally back, and David sought the Lord. We are going back this week, many of us today, some in the next few days, in the next few weeks. And we want to continue to seek him. Amen. Like, we want to, like, put away the child. Lord, give me strength. Give me the wisdom to see where I'm childish in my life. Give me the, reveal to me the blind spots where I don't just settle for the token gifts of this life. Or that just the token things the world offers me or throws at me. But I'm waiting for that pony to walk in the door. Like the presence of God. And when God is there, we seek him. We go after him. And we remember that God has something better. There's going to be challenges this year back on the mission field, 100%. It's true. But God has something better than that. And God says, my presence is here. I'm in your house. I'm in your heart. Seek me. Oh, Lord, but you're already here. Yeah, but it's time to seek me now. Because life happens, and it's not the time for childish things. It's not the time for thinking in the carnal desires. What is it to be a child? But it's to be carnal, basically. It's when I'm thinking like a child, I'm just being carnal. I'm not spirit-filled. I'm not seeking the Lord. I'm not thinking with God. I'm thinking about myself. And God says, put that away. Paul says, put that away. You know, it's not time for carnal understanding, carnal speech. It's time to seek me. And if you seek me, oh, I will put a joy in your heart. If you seek me, I will do so much better for you. I will do so much better than the childish possessions or attitude. I'm going to give you a more excellent way. So let's rejoice in him and let's seek him this year. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for ministering to the Lord's body in such a way that we can benefit from it all around the world, including the capital of the world, Jerusalem. We need this Jerusalem. Father, we just thank you for what we've heard. We thank you that you made everything beautiful in your time. But everything has its purpose, which is your purpose. Thank you that our human purposes can be just taken into that eternal purpose, that our purposes and our purpose merges with yours, and yours become our purpose. So we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the living spirit. Thank you for the living body. Thank you for the freedom we have here. In your precious name, amen. If I understand correctly, this week is the American Independence, like starting on Thursday. God willing, if the Lord tarries, I will fly on the day before the independence. But I want to say a couple of words about this country. America has a very deep place in my life. My steps went somewhere through fine land. It's a very fine land. We have a lot of history there. My steps are very deeply in Israel, my home, my wife's home. But how much America means to me. I was I was very young, like a child. And I ate American food. We were in a border. There was a war zone. And my family was one of the poor families, Karelian families. And we didn't have much food. I got care packages. Was it 3-4 times a year? I wore American clothes. I ate American beef. It was kosher. America gave me so much and fed me physically. Later on, America fed me spiritually. And then I got a wife from America. And then America has fed me that way. And there's a special relationship between Israel and America. An American president was the one who was first to agree with God what is the capital of Israel, like worldwide. I am thankful to God for America. America has a history. There's pieces in American history that are not commonly known, that are more amazing, that are in the regular books, that are in the bookstores. There's a spiritual history. There's a physical history. And there's a destiny for America. And this place right here in the center of Baltimore, or whatever, is the center? I think so. This place right here is doing what America was destined to do. And my prayer is still, keep the sun above the horizon. Don't set it set on America yet, if possible. But if not, your will be done. But I love this country for what it represents in the Lord. And there's a strong remnant. Secondly, I must confess that I'm not a baseball fan, but I like rodeos. Oh, man, I like rodeos. Yeah. I'm friend of professional cowboys, by the way. So, we're talking about the subject of maturity and growing in the Lord. Childhood, I write unto you, little children. I write unto you, young men. And when we say young men in Hebraic, it includes always young women. When we talk about a group, it always includes. And I write unto you, fathers, it includes mothers. We want to say a few words about that. We have a Heavenly Father, but we have a divine lover. He's about all of these things that we do, but he is a lover. And my life is about two things. It's about this. I know, as sons and daughters of God, we all can say this. All things are yours. Pastor Sibeli's message, Pastor Scheller's message, Pastor James' message, every portion. All things are yours. David Wilkerson's fervent prayer life, or even some commentaries by some rabbi about Psalms. All things are yours. So I have a tremendous freedom. But I know a second thing, besides being able to enjoy our common inheritance, the second thing is I have a destiny. We are under a destiny. So when we consider that we have a divine lover, king has to have a wedding. The clock is ticking for that. The Bible says in Psalms that your table has become a snare. We have a rich table, but when does the table become a snare? What do we think is think only about what is ours, and we forget we have a destiny. The table is to mature us to be his counterpart. Now the preparation includes, yes, reaching out, giving what we have. It's a pleasurable work. It's really inviting people to the feast that we have. But when we consider our maturity, the question of our maturity process that we're not supposed to be concerned about in a way, but when we consider it, it becomes very important because we hear the heartbeat. The king has to have a wedding. The father has been waiting a long time. He says, my son needs a bride. And that's why the urgency is to go to all the parts of the world and bring in these parts. The king needs a wedding. Souls need salvation. But this question of growing up is very important. However, there's a few warnings. The Lord said to us in Matthew 6:27, which one of you, by taking thought, can add even one cubit to your stature? So you don't need to worry about your growth level in one way. It is true. It's so important that whatever place we are, when we're in his place, we enjoy it. If a child cannot play and enjoy the parents' love and good nourishment, if the child is overloaded with burdens before they can grow by the means that God has given, it would destroy their childhood. I've met some children that try to be like adults. They try to borrow the vocabulary, dress that way. It's kind of cute. It's kind of cute, but it's not real. Sometimes we meet this in a spiritual level. We meet people that have mature ideas, but mind, that inner life in a secret place is not there. Boo, that's really sad. But on the other hand, while we do not worry about how grown am I? Where is my level? Paul said, wherever we are, just as long as we walk the same way, as long as we have the same mind, let us mind the same thing. Let us have the same disposition, the cross and resurrection. Yes. So in Hebrews 6, where the apostle says, let us, 6 chapter 1, he says, let us go unto perfection. Some people have said, let us go unto maturity. Perhaps we can say it that way. But it really means the perfection that is in his higher priesthood. In the heavenly priesthood, well, he gives us heavenly food, heavenly table. All the doctrine we've laid out, it's got to come from that place. Otherwise, we're not tapping into that which really brings us to maturity. I remember when the Lord, I remember like I was there, I wasn't there, but when the Lord said, looking at his disciples, I have many things to say to you, oh my goodness, but you, I'm not taking pressure about it that I can't tell them to you now. You're not ready, I know. But when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you later. But even now, at our present time, when we have his indwelling and growing is really learning to cooperate with the inward dwelling, his indwelling. That's what growth in grace is. So he's even now saying, I got so much more treasures to give to you. And yet when you walk in faith, obedience, and you share it to others on a street level and fellowship, and I have so much more. That's the way I imagine eternity to come. That we're at the edge of the seat, like we're kind of like this. We're like kind of like this. Wow, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And we're so full and we are so hungry. I believe that one of the expressions or realities of growing really and learning to be more mature, growing to be more mature, is that we are hungry and full at the same time. This is amazing. But let me just, this burden that Paul really had, or whoever wrote the Hebrews, many people feel it's Paul, is that by now, if you had responded, you ought to be teachers of this priesthood. You ought to be teachers, but you're still, you need milk. In all of the believerhood, is that an English word? Believerhood? World of the believers. Even in this country, we don't really know what is going on in every place. But this is my gut feeling, that the situation is so much that people have forgotten there's a lover. And it's not about me, and my spiritual life. It's getting ready for the king's wedding. Yeah. So it's kind of like a rodeo, stay in the saddle. Stay in the saddle. It's God's rodeo, yes. By the way, I hadn't seen my brother. I hadn't had like a small talk with him for about 30 years. So I saw him on and off. And I just asked him off the cuff that if you watch any sport, what sport would you watch? He said, it may sound strange to you, but I would watch rodeo. I said, me too. But why am I saying rodeo? Because it's really about staying in the saddle. The life tries to throw us off. The distractions come here. The distractions come that way. And if I forget that I have a destiny, why, yeah, with joy, everything. But we have a destiny. It's upon us, but it's enjoyable. maturity has to do with knowing that on the inside. And Israel has a destiny. Israel is a destiny. Israel, prepare to meet your God. I don't have time and I don't intend to go to these challenges that we face there. But when you pray for us, also pray for our security and safety. My wife sends her love. We were married just 40 years in March. 40 years. But we haven't been 40 years in the wilderness. No, it wasn't 40 years in the wilderness. We've been in a promised land already more than 30 years. So if we don't grow, if we don't avail ourselves to these opportunities, we can't stay a long time in the wilderness. And the wilderness speaks about our souls wandering. And then the promised land, when we tap into the Spirit, where's the place of perfect love. In 1 John, we would really love to go there, but I'll recap by saying this and finish by this. I'm always looking for the keys. There are many doors, amazing doors in God's house. But we need sometime a handle or a key. I'm always saying, Lord, give me a key to get into this door. Give me a handle. It may come from what somebody says. It may come from a service. It may come, I don't know how. But how we tap into His Word. But the way I understand is there's these three choirs. There's three statements in a Song of Songs that outline to us this process of growth into that maturity that we are ready for marriage. There's three statements in a Song of Songs. There are three choirs in the book of Revelation. And these great three statements in 1 John. So in 1 John 2, John is writing to three groups. He's writing to three groups of believers. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Then in the second round of communication, he says, because you've learned to know the Father. This is a courtyard experience. There's two articles in the courtyard of the tabernacle. There's the burnt offering altar, and there's the water lever. So the children, when they enjoy getting washed and forgiven and loved and getting nourished in that love, they grow from forgiveness to being secure in the Father. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That is the growth. That's the growth that happens at that stage. But then next he writes unto the fathers. Now, that is interesting, and there's two statements to the Father. And in English, they appear almost the same. In Aramaic, there's one difference. I write unto you, fathers, because you know Him. You have come to know Him who was from the beginning. Like the expression is really the is, was, which is in Russian, Pastor Matti told me as well. But is, was, who was from the beginning. You know Him who was from the beginning. But in the second communication, He says, who is from the beginning. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. But second, then He writes to the young man, two rounds of statements. They are strong. They learn to overcome the evil one, and the Word of God abides in them. This is the courtyard. Not courtyard. This is a holy place experience. There's the showbread of the bread of God, bread of His face, feeding richly. This could be in a Bible school, could be in a service, could be in a rap sessions, could be in any place where the fellowship is flowing like this. And then there's a candlestick and light and wisdom coming. And then that turns to the altar of intercession, where we join his prayer life. It's not our prayers. We join his prayer life as he is the accepted one. We join his ascended prayer life. Ooh, and I'm so glad there's so many prayer meetings here. I wish I could stay another week too to just join those prayer meetings. And then, wow, then the third room is where the fathers are. And then in a Song of Songs, I close this with this. In a Song of Songs, it says three times this statement is 2:16, 3:6, and 7:10. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. That's the experience of a enjoyable childhood in him. I know he's mine. And we gotta have just enjoyment in that without any pressure, any legalism, anything of the kind. But then the second statement is, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Now we're more conscious of him. That's like the holy place experience. We've grown in the word, fellowship. It could be in a Bible school, it could be in a rap session, and all of this. But then the third statement is, I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. In the first two statements, it is accompanied by words, he feedeth among the lilies. And there's the key. There's the key. He feeds among the lilies. That's the key of growth. Lilies is where it's the places of resurrection. Don't have time to go into the teaching about lilies, but that's a place of resurrection with the finished work, blood, and finished work, life, which we have heard all week. Yes, choirs are for another time. So let's enjoy where we are. Let's keep the table clean. It's a feast, but we don't bring leaven into it. And then, let's remember, we have a destiny to our own wedding. That's why I fully agree, let's occupy till he comes. But my other eye is there. My other eye is on the wedding, my other eye is on the field. Father, we thank you in your precious name for giving us your Son. When you gave us your Son, you gave us everything. Who shed his blood. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And if anyone here this morning has not yet personally trusted in him that way, if you don't know that your destiny is in his eternal kingdom, if you don't know he's in your heart, you may be sincere, but there's one way, the blood of the atonement. So pray with me, please, this way. Pray. Dear Father, I, with all of my heart, want to believe this message. Let your Holy Spirit make it real to me that the righteous one died for my sins. I'm not even trusting my own power to do my own repentance, but I turned from my sin by your grace, and I placed it on the Son of God who already took it away. And I confess, I cannot save myself. You are my salvation. And if you prayed that prayer, if you prayed even in your own words, just like saying that I'm here, Lord, save me. Please raise your hand so we can give you some literature to help you on your first steps. If there's anybody that prayed that prayer, Lord, I open my heart to you. Be my Savior by grace, by faith. Raise your hand if you have not taken that step yet and you want to take it this morning. Now, I don't have my other glasses, so I don't see very well, I have to confess. But okay, thank you, Lord, for all you are. Thank you for this body here. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this country. Thank you for your work in all around the world in your precious name. Thank you. Thank you for this precious man of God who guides the flock with your wisdom. In your name, amen.